Welcome to God and Country Biblical Exposition. Project 2025 is a conservative policy agenda put out by the Heritage Foundation, a 900-page document which covers many changes that ought to be made in the federal government. Of course, Project 2025 has become a campaign talking point for the left. In just 1 week, Kamala Harris mentioned Project 2025 20 times. That if Trump gets elected, those Republicans will implement Project 2025, which she mischaracterizes and demonizes for political points. Now, what's telling is that our culture has so degraded, and there has become such a widespread separation between the morals on the left and the morals on the right, that the left is now calling historic, standard conservative policy weird, radical, dangerous, undemocratic. When Kamala Harris mentioned Project 2025 to her Democrat audience, the audience booed Project 2025. Harris is claiming it's a plan to return America to a dark past. And for Harris, who is a socialist, that dark past means the days when the federal government was smaller and when the murder of babies was illegal. So just to understand the rhetoric, here is Harris running against Project 2025.
You may have seen their agenda. Part of it is called Project 2025. Now, can you believe they put that in writing? 900 pages of it. Project 2025, a plan to return America to a dark past. They intend to cut Medicare, to repeal our $35 cap on insulin, to eliminate the Department of Education, to end programs like Head Start, which would take away preschool for hundreds of thousands of children in our communities. Let's be clear. This represents an outright attack on our children, our families, and our future. These extremists want to take us back, but we are not going back. We are not going back.
So let's discuss Project 2025, because embodied in the project are many spiritual lessons and matters of biblical discernment. If you have listened to the media, both on the right and the left, you probably have developed a negative view of Project 2025, but don't be so quick to judge. It's actually one of the more positive, godly developments in America in a long time. The fact that it's being demonized shows just how much of a threat the project is to the leftist agenda and power. The real problem is not Project 2025, the wording of it, the implementation of it. The problem is the ungodly persecuting the righteous. Job chapter 21, verse 14, they say to God, "Depart from us. We do not even desire a knowledge of your ways." So, of course, the ungodly are not going to tolerate an agenda based upon biblical righteous values. Romans chapter 8, verse 7, because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it doesn't subject itself to the law of God, for it's not even able to do so. Also, the reaction to Project 2025 is just another example of Luke chapter 19, where Jesus, in his parable, had the people saying, "We will not have this man, Jesus Christ, reign over us." It's an example of 2 Timothy 3:12, "All who will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution, just expect it." And John 15:19, "If you are of the world would love its own, but because you're not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you." Also John 16:2, "But an hour is coming for everyone who kills you to think he's offering service to God." That's how upside down the world will be. So let's not be ashamed of Project 2025, just as Paul would have to urge Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:8, "Do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me as prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God. So even in the early church, when Christian leaders and Christian ideas were criticized and persecuted by the culture, some Christians experienced shame, embarrassed by the stance, probably assuming these leaders and their evangelism must be the problem. I mean, certainly these Christian leaders must be doing something wrong because the world is calling them radical, dangerous, haters of the human race. Certainly there must be some truth to what the world is saying. So maybe we should tone down our message. But don't believe the lies of the world, the mischaracterizations coming from the world. Stand for the truth. Now is not the time to shy away from Project 2025, but to double down on it, to explain it to the people, to say, look at the details. Project 2025 is what America truly needs. The Heritage Foundation, the source of Project 2025, is a conservative think tank in Washington. It was started in 1973 by Paul Weyrich and by Edwin Fluhner, Christian statesmen and commentators, after the disaster of the secular republicanism of Richard Nixon. These Christian men wanted to create a conservative version of the liberal Brookings Institute, an organization that could formulate and recommend conservative policy and train conservative leaders. And these men and this organization appeared on the scene at the perfect time in the providence of God. Ronald Reagan was elected and his policies were formulated by the Heritage Foundation through the Heritage publication, Mandate for Leadership, which was the 1980 version of Project 2025, except in the 1980s, it was only 5 pages. Paul Danz, who recently came on board the Heritage Foundation to direct Project 2025, planned to repeat with Donald Trump what Heritage did back in the 1980s in the Reagan Revolution. But as we see, times have changed. Back in the 1980s, the Democrat candidates, Jimmy Carter and Walter Mondale, were not saying that, ooh, this evil mandate for leadership, we've got to stop it. It's radical. It's dangerous. It's going to bring America into a dark place. They would never say such a thing because they knew they had their own policy playbook from the Brookings Institute, and they knew that they were the radicals. They were the ones trying to hide their policy objectives. But look at how things have changed. Now that the ungodly have been emboldened, as the popular culture has become less Christian. Anyway, the Heritage Foundation put together Project 2025, and here's something you probably have not heard. This was not just the Heritage Foundation. Heritage realized that they could not and should not do this alone. So they brought together over 100 other conservative groups to create Project 2025. Groups we've all heard about. The ACLJ, the American Family Association, the ADF, the Alliance Defending Freedom, Family Policy Council, AMAC, Concerned Women for America, the Claremont Institute, the Eagle Forum, Frontline, the Heartland Institute, Hillsdale College, Dr. James Dobson Family Institute, the James Madison Institute, Moms for Liberty, the Pacific Research Institute, Turning Point USA, and many, many other conservative organizations. And thank God that he has raised up so many Christian leaders and organizations in America. If it weren't for the opposition of satanic forces and the unsaved instruments of Satan, America would have returned to God years ago. The decline is really not due to a lack of Christians politically involved or a failure to disseminate the truth, as we hear so many speakers claim, the facts prove otherwise. And here's another fact you probably haven't heard, the necessity of Project 2025. When presidents win elections, they have to put together a government. They have to make about 8,000 appointments to various government agencies. There are 2.2 million federal employees, and about 10,000 of those employees are appointed by the president. They are put into these agencies to implement the president's policies. And if they're not there, then the president is powerless and subject to the whims of the deep state. Historically, groups such as the Heritage Foundation, the Federalist Society, and the RNC have helped conservative presidents form their government. It's not enough just for conservatives to win elections. They have to have the right people ready to go into action. So the Heritage Foundation, with the help of these other conservative organizations, started back in April of 2023 to get ready if perhaps a Republican would win the White House. From the Project 2025 website, quote, "It's not enough for conservatives to win elections. If we're going to rescue the country from the grip of the radical left, we need both a governing agenda and the right people in place ready to carry out this agenda on day one of the next conservative administration. This is the goal of the 2025 Presidential Transition Project. The project will build on four pillars that will collectively pave the way for an effective conservative administration. And the four pillars are, number one, a policy agenda. That would be the 900-page document explaining what needs to be done in each of the 30 administrative departments. The second pillar is personnel, new blood. Heritage is gathering applications from people in law and business who can fill these appointments, conservative patriots who want to use their skill to help the country. Third, training. These people need to be trained by conservative Christians who have worked in these agencies and know what to watch out for. I mean, as it is, without training, an appointee can work in one of these departments for months and still not realize that he's being duped by the system. 90% of government workers vote Democrat. And unless a conservative appointee knows how to lead in that situation, he's going to be ignored and marginalized. Remember, in Donald Trump's first term, the left slow-walked his appointments, and Trump was given some bad advice concerning who to put in those positions, people who had undermined Trump's agenda. The fourth pillar of Project 2025 is a 180-day playbook. What a president gets done in the first 180 days is crucial. Trump, in his first 180 days, implemented 22 major regulations. Biden, in his first 180 days, with the help of his team, implemented 62 major new regulations. So, you have to give the leadership at the Heritage Foundation some credit for doing all this. Do you and I have the energy and the wisdom to do this? Are we as involved? Are we as proactive? If not, don't criticize. I mean, sure, every Christian leader will make some mistakes and is certainly open to correction. But focus on the positive and thank God that these people are doing something. Most Christians don't realize how much they're blessed and kept safe by the work of others. Also realize that the Democrat left has their own version of Project 2025 that they're not talking about. And it's bigger and it's more well-funded. When Biden got into office, the leftist organization, Center for American Progress, was ready to go with their policies and appointees. It was called the Transition Integrity Project. The left is most likely criticizing Project 2025 because they fear the fact that conservatives are being organized They would rather have their opponents in disarray and unprepared. And since the left is running against conservative policy, what do you think they're going to smear and target? Project 2025. Bloomberg News. Harris plans to defeat two enemies. Donald Trump and Project 2025. Well, of course. Because Project 2025 would undermine the power of the left and set them back for years. The leftist group, Democracy Forward, has put out the People's Guide to Project 2025, subtitled Breaking Down the Far Right's Playbook to Take Our Country Backward. Quote, Project 2025 is among the most profound threats to the American people. The Project 2025's presidential transition project is a well-funded eight-figure effort of the Heritage Foundation and more than 100 organizations to enable a future anti-democratic presidential administration to take swift far-right action that would cut wages for working people, dismantle social safety net programs, reverse decades of progress for civil rights, redefine the way our society operates, and undermine our economy. A central pillar of Project 2025 is the mandate for leadership, a 900-plus page policy playbook authored by former Trump administration officials and other extremists that provide a radical version for our nation and a roadmap to implement it. What we're discovering was a systematic, ruthless plan to undermine the quality of life of millions of Americans, remove critical protections, and dismantle programs for communities across the nation, and prioritize special interests and ideological extremists over the people. From attacking overtime pay, student loans, and reproductive rights, to allowing more discrimination, pollution, and price gouging, those behind Project 2025 are prepared to go to incredible lengths to create a country only for some and not for all of us. Now, notice they call Republicans anti-democratic. If Republicans implement their policies and win an election, simply because the left doesn't get to implement their policies, it's really a foolish argument. Because couldn't we also call the left anti-democratic if they win and implement their policies? I suppose the left assumes that conservatives are being anti-democratic because the left believes that they're in the majority. But notice this recent report from Gallup. Social conservatism in the U.S. highest in a decade. 38% of Americans say that they're social conservatives, and only 29% claim that they're social liberals. So who is being undemocratic in their policies? Project 2025 and the Heritage Foundation? Or Democracy Forward? So just recognize that it is a leftist lie that claims leftists are in the majority, so you must submit and cower. Now, I find it interesting to read the Democracy Forward report, what leftists claim Christian values and policy will do. And this has always been the argument of unbelievers, that the ways of God are not good. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand by the way and see, and ask for the ancient paths, where the good way is, and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. The good ways of God are depicted as evil, and hence rejected. So, in the Left's People's Guide to Project 2025, we see how this opposition to God's morality is being described by people in the 21st century. That is, if abortion, pornography, LGBTQ, transgenderism, and sports is eliminated, and government spending and control are reduced, our lives will be ruined. It will undermine the quality of life for millions of Americans. So, Democrats have actually put out a card listing 20 policy items they claim are in Project 2025, such as dismantling the FBI and Homeland Security, reducing environmental protections, eliminating the Department of Education, Commerce, FCC, and FTC, ending abortion, cutting climate change research, infusing government with Christian values, criminalizing pornography, removing protections against racial discrimination, terminating DEI initiatives, promoting capital punishment. So isn't it telling how the Democrats think that pornography and abortion are good, and how infusing Christian values into government is evil? Now, the Heritage Foundation, on their Project 2025 website, debunks many of the left's lies against Project 2025 meant to scare people. Quote, the left has spent millions fear-mongering about Project 2025 because they're terrified of losing their power. And they should be. Project 2025 offers a menu of solutions to the border crisis, inflation, a stagnant economy, and rampant crime. It shows how we can take on China, fix our schools, and support families. But most importantly, it dismantles the unaccountable deep state, taking power away from leftist elites and giving it back to the American people and the duly elected president. And then the Heritage Foundation goes on to explain that the plan is not to terminate the Constitution and end democracy. It's not a plan to set up a dictatorship and give the president more power. It's not a plan to ban books about slavery. It's not a plan to end civil rights or to end benefits for military vets or housing or secondary education or retirement. It's not a complete ban on abortion. It does not end school lunch programs. And it's not a plan to end Social Security, Medicare, eliminate unions, or raise the retirement age. However, it is a plan to eliminate racist DEI programs in government, where under Biden, every government department needs to have a DEI police officer. It is a plan to fund private schools so that government schools don't have a monopoly. It is a plan to enforce the laws on the books concerning capital punishment to deter and punish crime. It is a plan to outlaw certain forms of pornography because pornography has become a national health crisis. It's a plan to end abortion on demand. It is a plan to deport illegal immigrants, the people the left have been bringing into the country so that no election will ever again go Republican. And it's a plan to defund the Department of Education. 5,000 employees who sit at their desk every day and do needless paperwork without teaching a single child. Most people don't realize that the Department of Education could disappear tomorrow and nobody would miss it, except those who make money off of the bureaucracy. All 50 states have their own education administrations that do a sufficient job in managing education. I was just listening to an interview with Kate Sullivan, a former assistant attorney general at the Justice Department, and she explained what surprised her the most when she entered government work was that the entire federal government, all of the departments, all of the employees, survived by their power to dole out money to the public. That's what they do for a living. It's all about issuing government grants. So, of course, the more money they have to give out, the more they feel useful and powerful. And we all know that this is what these departments do, but it has to stop. The government is printing an additional $2 trillion a year to pay for government largesse that we can't afford. And really, the public should be thankful for the policy proposals in Project 2025. Because it will save them from waking up one morning and reading in the paper that the entire U.S. economy has collapsed. We need the pain now to avoid the greater death in the future. Government needs to shrink. And as the Heritage Foundation states, the main goal of Project 2025, and what should be the goal of the next administration, is to disempower what is now called the fourth branch of government, the deep state. And this is what the left hates most about Project 2025, because the deep state is their power and their Marxism. Anyway, that's Project 2025. And because of the left's criticism of the project, Donald Trump has disavowed Project 2025. Quote from Trump on Truth Social, "I know nothing about Project 2025. I have no idea who's behind it. I disagree with some of the things they're saying, and some of the things they're saying are absolutely ridiculous and abysmal. Anything they do, I wish them luck, but I have nothing to do with them." Now, by the way, J.D. Vance is more supportive of the Heritage Foundation and Project 2025. He has some good things to say about it, and he doesn't throw it under the bus. But the people running Trump's campaign put out this statement. "President Trump's campaign has been very clear for over a year that Project 2025 has nothing to do with the campaign, did not speak for the campaign, and should not be associated with the campaign or the president in any way. Reports of Project 2025's demise would be greatly welcomed and should serve as notice to anyone or any group trying to misrepresent their influence with President Trump and his campaign. It will not end well for you." So Paul Danz, the leader of the Heritage Foundation's Project 2025, had to step down. No specific reason was given, but it's kind of assumed it was due to all the criticism toward the Heritage Foundation. Someone's head had to roll. Now, if there were any mistakes in Project 2025, here they are. First, by titling it Project 2025, it made it seem as if these policies were to be immediately fully implemented by the Republican nominee. But Trump's approach has always been incremental. Also, the title could easily be misrepresented as Trump's plan. Here's a quote from the conservative commentator J.D. Rucker. "The Heritage Foundation overplayed their role as a think tank. Even the name Project 2025 insinuates that it's a plan intended for immediate implementation. This negates their claim that it is for any Republican president at any time. By naming it Project 2025, they intended it for it to be used by President Trump. Project 2025 is dead. It wasn't really killed by Trump. It wasn't really killed by corporate media. It was killed by the Heritage Foundation's poor decision to pretend it was more than what it really was." Unquote. Well, actually, it was the media, and it was Trump that killed Project 2025, not hubris on the part of the Heritage Foundation. And it's not actually dead. Heritage still has its website up. They're still training prospects. And if Trump wins in November, he will likely still utilize many of the people Heritage recommends to these appointments. A second possible mistake would be revealing the plan to the enemy in a 900-page policy document. If you look at Trump's plan, Agenda 47, it's one page with 20 bullet points, which is wise politics. Some things ought not to be written down for public consumption. Statements that opponents can twist and use against you. Policy implementations need to be revealed slowly and in stages. Every good teacher knows not to unload everything upon a student all at once. We read in John chapter 7, verse 10, "Even Jesus went up to Jerusalem in secret because he didn't want his adversaries to know his movements. It wasn't time for him to go to the cross." But does this mean Jesus was lying? No. You don't reveal your whole plan to your enemy. And we're to recognize how evil will misrepresent and twist the truth, 2 Corinthians 2:11, so that no advantage would be taken of us by Satan, for we're not ignorant of his schemes. Also Matthew 10:16, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves, so be shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves." Do you tell the wolves what the sheep are planning to do? Why would Heritage put out there for public consumption a detailed 900-page conservative agenda? Can't you just publish some bullet points and keep the rest in house? And a third possible mistake in Project 2025 was in not communicating with Donald Trump. To undertake the project and leave him out of the decision-making until he wins the election, and then Heritage revealing to him all that they have done for him. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 18. Prepare plans by consultation and make war by wise guidance. Yes, Heritage had the wisdom to include many other groups, but they left the prime candidate out of the decision-making. So maybe Paul Danz had to step down because of those mistakes. But even with those possible mistakes, I want to close by restating the point I made at the beginning. The problem is really not those mistakes. The problem is the unsaved world rejecting God's ways and their persecution of the truth. Because if Project 2025 was all about leftist policy, it would have been embraced by the world, and the title and the revealing and the failure to communicate would not have mattered one bit, because the world would love the policy and hence overlook everything else. The real objection was the policy. So here's a spiritual lesson in all this. Christians will always make mistakes in their application of God's truth. In government, at work, in parenting, I've never seen a Christian in any service for God not make some mistakes. As a pastor, as a businessman, or as a father. And because of this, we will often beat ourselves up, assuming that the persecution is due to our own fault. But be assured, it's actually suffering for righteousness' sake. If you are of the world would love its own. But because you're not of this world, but I've chosen you out of this world, because of this, the world hates you. Thanks for listening. Keep in the Word. Discern all things through the Word. And may Jesus Christ reign.